The passage before us today takes place in the house of a Pharisee named Simon. He invited Jesus to come to his house, and would you believe, a prostitute joins them. A Pharisee, a prostitute, and Jesus. Now that's a combination of spiritual conditions. I would like for us to study this passage today. What may we learn today from this particular occasion at this Pharisee's house? Would you take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke? We've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke. We are in chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Beginning at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, did you notice already it says, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Then it says in verse 39, the Pharisee said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. So it's repeated again. I want to share with you first thought. This woman knew what sin could do. I'm pausing on purpose to allow you to listen to what I'm saying and think about what I'm saying. I said this woman knew what sin could do to a person. And she was in a terrible struggle in her heart. The burden of her life was obviously crushing her, because as soon as she comes in, she stands behind Jesus and she starts crying. Obviously, we are not told how she ended up as a prostitute, but it doesn't happen instantly. We don't get into any particular lifestyle immediately. We make a series of choices over time. Think about that. That being true, what do we need to do to have a godly life? We have to make choices. All of us right here will leave this auditorium today, and all week long, you're going to make choices. Where you go, what you do, and so forth. This woman knew what sin could do to a person, because she had obviously made a long series of choices. You just don't wake up one morning and become a prostitute. I have a verse I want to give you. There are some verses that have just, I'm telling you, spoken to me constantly about my life from the beginning, from my salvation, all the way up to today, even through the years of being a pastor, certain verses reach out at me, and I sometimes say these verses during the week. Let me show you. Would you turn in your Bible? Put your finger here. We'll be right back. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. Romans 13. Verses 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy. Before I read on, sometimes you need to take these old words from the New Testament and give them modern day meanings, and that's what the Living Bible does. What I just read was, be decent and true in everything that you do so that all can approve of your behavior. Listen, do not spend time at wild parties. That's what revelry means. Don't go to wild parties. Maybe the younger generation sitting before me, be willing to tell your friends, no, I'm not going to go. Let them get mad at you. They're not. You will save yourself a lot of headache and problems in the future if you say, no, I'm not going to go to a place where I think it could be some sinful stuff going on. So he says, don't spend time at wild parties or getting drunk. Or in adultery, or lust, or fighting, or jealousy. Now verse 14. That's what we shouldn't do, verse 13. Here's what we should do. Then he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here comes the part that I say over and over again to myself. Make no provision for the lust of the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Don't make any provisions for the passions of your old nature. Jerry Lancaster, don't buy that book or magazine or go on that website. I'm telling you, it's all right in front of me too, just like you. And that's what I hear. Don't make any provision for the lust of the flesh. You may be walking with God, but you start looking at that stuff and you start down that road, and let me tell you where it's going. Don't make any provision for the lust of the flesh. And I believe the paraphrase of this verse says, don't make plans to enjoy evil. Get rid of certain things in your life which may cause you to sin. Things that may become the means or instrument of sin. Be careful where you go and who you go with. We don't know the choices this woman made, but obviously she had made a lot of wrong choices. Yeah, probably the men that she started hanging out with or dating. I don't know. Young people, be careful of the girl you choose. Or ladies, be careful of the guy you choose. If he's a godly man or she's a godly woman, That's the direction to go. But if you already see in that person's life stuff that they're doing, and you know very good and well, and I know what you're going to say, yeah, but I'm not going to do that. You get involved with her or him, you may be making provision for the lust of the flesh. This woman who came to Jesus in that Pharisee's house, if you called her aside, oh yeah, I know what sin's all about. What I am today, she might have said, started 15 years ago or whatever. I had no idea. But look, she's standing there weeping. She is brokenhearted. She has a crushed heart and life. And she wants help. Second thought. This woman knew about forgiveness. Let me begin reading. Go back to Luke 7. Let me begin reading now at verse... I'll start at 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, this man, referring to Jesus, if he was a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him. She's a prostitute, a sinner. He said that to himself, not out loud. But watch. Remember, Jesus is God. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. In other words, Jesus read his mind. Do you realize that? Jesus can read your mind? He said, well, teacher, say it. Jesus said there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Now tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, you see this woman? I entered your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. It's a typical greeting. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet from the time I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil. This woman has anointed my feet. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Wow. By the way, you see where it says in verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven? And then in verse 48, it says, your sins are forgiven. Okay, you don't have to be a scholar. I'm going to lay it out simply. I told you, as the Word of God was originally inspired, we sometimes, when you try to bring it over into the English language, it's hard to translate sometimes because there are certain verbs and so forth that the original had that we don't have in English, and so how do you translate that? If you don't have something equivalent, you have to use a statement sometimes. Don't worry about this part. This is a perfect passive verb. The perfect tense, we have no perfect tense in English. You say, what's your point, Pastor? Here's what he said to that woman. Your sins have been forgiven. All the sins of the past. And are presently forgiven. And will continue to be forgiven. Because she came to Jesus
for forgiveness. Where are you spiritually? I hope you know for sure you're going to go to heaven. I'll talk about that in a minute. Your sins? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? I'll tell you, nothing brings peace to my heart like knowing God forgives me because I'm his child. This woman knew about forgiveness. Her sins were many, but Jesus said, they're all forgiven. By the way, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay. But Christians sin. What does a Christian do when they sin? Here's what you should do. And some of these things, I'm so thankful for the people who emphasize this to me, because as soon as somebody says that, I was taught many years ago, Jerry, 1 John 1:9. And they kept saying that to me. 1 John 1:9. Okay, put your finger here. Turn to 1 John, back toward Revelation. 1 John 1:9. You may already know what it says, but somebody else may be sitting there saying, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, 1 John 1:9. Okay, there's 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Jude, and Revelation. So you're back toward the end of the New Testament, 1 John 1:9. This verse tells a Christian what he's to do or she's to do if he or she sins. If we confess our sins, that's to God. Watch. He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Parts of that verse, he's faithful. Well, I haven't been, maybe. To forgive us, and that verb is once and for all, he forgives us, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I need the last part of that verse. Many times I've needed the last part of that verse, because I said to myself, I don't know why and how in the world did I end up doing that, saying that, whatever. Then I hate myself. And then I remember, 1 John 1:9. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't say, well, Pastor, I know you don't know me, but you have no idea what I've been doing, living, the way I've been living. I don't care. He will forgive you of all your sins. He will cleanse you. Hello, you know what that means? You'll be holy, righteous, clean. Don't you want to leave here today knowing you confessed your sin from your heart and now you're clean again? Yes, I do. I want to be clean before God. That woman knew about forgiveness. Prostitute? Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? I won't even go there. I don't have to describe all of that. Sometimes a daily thing, nightly thing, weekly, monthly, year, whatever. She found out she's completely clean. That'll get you hurt. Got one more thought. This woman knew about the assurance of salvation. The assurance. Go back to Luke, chapter 7. How did she know? Verse 50. Well, we start at verse 48. He said, your sins are forgiven. Those at the table with him began to say to themselves, not out loud, now, who is this that forgives sins? Well, obviously, Jesus is God. And then Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She got saved. She knew she was a sinner. She asked Jesus to save her. That was her heart. She wanted to be forgiven. I want you, Lord. And he said, your faith, your trust in me has saved you. Here is a woman who knew for sure. Here is a prostitute. Oh, no. Former prostitute. Who knew she was going to heaven. How'd she know for sure? Jesus said so. How do you know you're going to go to heaven? This is God's word. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. That's because this is God's word. I'll trust his word. I may not feel like it, but I can trust what he says. I remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10. I'll just quote it to you, verse 28. He said to them, don't be afraid or fear the person who can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. Fear him, it's a capital, referring to God. Fear him who is able to destroy both your body and your soul in hell. Oh. I remember when I found out there was a place called hell, and I remember that was when I listened to what the person was telling me about how to not go there and how I could go to heaven and why I should believe the Bible. And if you don't know why you should believe the Bible, I'll be glad to meet with you. I'll show you. I give you hundreds of reasons why I believe this is the Word of God. Listen to what happens to a saved person. I'm quoting. Now we look forward with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with Jesus. We know that these things are true by believing, not seeing. And we are not afraid, but quite content to die. For then, we will be at home with the Lord. When I die, I'm going home. My eternal home. I've already started saying to my, you know, sometimes your grandkids start talking about things. I know Joy has to. Now listen, if something happens, you just remember, she goes by Grammy, your Grammy. You're looking at my body, but your Grammy is in heaven and she's happy with the Lord. Do you know for sure you're going to be in heaven? Now I'm going to tell you in closing, I have an illustration. It's true. You're not going to remember this name. Her name is Sue Beswick, but you're not going to remember her name. But she has sung here because I've known her for a long time. In fact, she sang with Pam, who sang before I preached. The person I'm referring to, they sang together right here at our church. And the person I'm talking about, Sue, is going to, Lord willing, be back in February, so maybe we can get her here to sing. I won't tell you all that she went through in her life, because I remember the day when I got the message. I think her husband was 32 or 33 years old, and they'd found him dead. And she went through everything. She had little kids, but she loves the Lord. We just saw her about 2 months ago. I found out about what she's doing right now. She said, "Pastor, I never thought I would end up doing something like this." I said, "What?" She said, "Well," and she lives in Morristown, Tennessee. But she says, "I have started helping a ministry. It's actually called Arena of Faith." And she said, "I've been helping them at the Jefferson County Jail." She said, "Would you have thought I'd be working at the jail?" She says, "Well, I'm there as a part of that ministry. I have the opportunity to meet with the ladies, the women, the girls who are there in jail. And they have arranged it so that we are able to meet with them and even have a Bible study with them." She said, "Oh, Pastor, you have no idea." She said, "I'm so thankful I'm able to do this." This is her letter from last month. It's not long. Listen. "I want to give you an update on so many things that are going on inside the Jefferson County Jail. It's hard to know where to begin because the Lord is doing great things inside those walls. It thrills me every time a transition is made from a hardened heart to a beaming smile because of what the Lord has done in the heart of a woman. I'd like to tell you about one story in particular. A woman started one of the classes, that's the disciple group, several months ago, and she shared how angry she was when she entered the jail. She was put in a holding cell with another woman that she had held a tremendous grudge against due to something that took place out on the street. She proceeded to beat that woman in retaliation until a guard arrived. And then she took out her anger on the guard and started beating him. Needless to say, she ended up in isolation. And while there, was given a Bible, which she started reading. Fast forward to her ending up in one of our discipleship classes, where she began to soak up every bit of God's word that she could. Her hardened face, with time, turned into the most beautiful, joyful smile as she continued to learn and grow in Christ. One day in class, Sue says, "I noticed her passing a note to another girl. I didn't know what was going on." She told me the next day what that note was all about. "You see, what I didn't know was the girl, that was the girl she had beaten when she arrived in jail, who was also now in the class. She was under such conviction that she passed a note to her asking for her forgiveness. And there were hugs and tears, and then there were even other girls asking for forgiveness for what they had done to each other in their relationship on the street. What a beautiful morning it was. They were set free from anger, bitterness, all because of their encounter with Jesus and their Heavenly Father who loves them so much. All the women in that jail are precious to God. He sees, hears, loves, and died for them just like he did for you and me." And she concludes, I can't tell you what it means to me to have people interceding for me behind the scenes. I rely on everyone for your prayers, and I'm grateful for your support. Thank you for standing in the gap for me and enabling me to serve the Lord in this way. Wow. Think of those girls coming to the end of themselves, prostitutes, maybe, whatever, ended up in jail. And Sue reaches out to them in love, gives them a Bible. And they end up reading it and studying it, and their soul is saved from hell. And now they're going to go to heaven. How thankful we should be for what Jesus has done for all of us. Lord, if there's a person here who doesn't know for sure that they're saved, help them to come to the end of themselves today and say, I'm tired of this old life. I'm sick and tired of living this way and all the filth of it. And help them to turn to you and say, Lord, would you save my soul? And you will cleanse them. You will change them, just like you have these girls in jail. Thank you for people like Sue. And help us to be faithful in sharing the gospel with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.